Hey, it's Mike Shobe with the Jonathan Channel, and this is The Headliner. It's your guide to the best new recordings of the Great American Songbook. This week we're featuring the album Wonderland by vocalist Lissy Walker. Lissy's going to be joining us from the legendary Fantasy Studios in Berkeley, California in a moment, but first, let's get started with some music. This album is unique in that, while doing standards and tunes that will become standards one day, there aren't any of the I'm doing standards cliches. There's no nod to a past arrangement or a reimagining of someone's hit record. Lissy has produced something really different, and it's a breath of fresh air in that regard. For example, she pairs Lazy Afternoon, made famous by Barbara Streisand, with Rodgers and Hart's Where or When. Even if you know the originals, you probably won't recognize them here. It's melancholy, brooding, and saturated with open space. It's like a sunrise, even though the lyrics are about a time closer to sunset. Plus, the lap steel reminds us that this isn't going to be just any standards record.
It seems we stood and talked like this before. We looked at each other in the same way then, but I can't remember where or when. The clothes you're wearing are the clothes you wore. The smile you were smiling.
Joining us from Fantasy Studios in California is Lissy Walker. Lissy, welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
The song we just heard, Lazy Afternoon, mashed up with Where or When. The way you put them together really grabbed my attention. And there's another mashup on the album, Dream a Little Dream and I'll See You in My Dreams. How did this one come to life?
Okay, so I was working on both songs and, I was used to the Mama Cass, Dream a Little Dream of Me, which I had probably discovered in high school and loved, and I thought, oh, I can't even do this song. I mean, she just did it so perfectly, and but I still loved it. And then I started working on I'll See You in My Dreams, and I didn't really care for the verse in that one so much, so I thought, maybe I could put these together. And my kids at the time were watching Glee, and so I was listening to all these mashups. And I thought, okay, yeah, why not? Dream, a little dream of
first tune I heard when I popped in the CD was Loverman. And from the opening cymbal crash, you can hear this is something pretty different. There's a cinematic flair to it. It's dramatic, it's patient, and it develops slowly. Tell us, where did this arrangement come from?
All of these songs are, you know, they're part of my journey. They're kind of in chronological order. And I started working on Loverman, and just playing it on the piano, I kept hearing that kind of Satie-esque piano while I was singing. And that often happens to me, and that's definitely a part of my process. I think, you know, I started off as a classical piano player, and then I sang in a choir for a long time, and so I was doing Bach and Handel, and they really, you know, got into my body. And so when I go to do a song like this from the Great American Songbook, I can't help but go there. And so I just listen to those cues when I get them and try and interpret that into the song. If it's telling me this is what it sounds like, then I kind of go with that. It's hard for me to explain exactly why this album is so interesting. Partly it's how unconventional the arrangements are. Part of it, I guess, is the dopey vibe a lot of the arrangements have, the sort of dark and brooding nature to the album. But I have to assume that some of it is in the curation of the songs. Tell us about that process. Yeah, I think it's my favorite part of the process, or one of my favorite parts. There's many. But that's definitely one of them, because it's very mysterious to me. I'm a big film buff, so I will watch old movies and new movies, and I'll sometimes find a song in a movie. Like, I rented Women in Love, the Ken Russell movie, and in one scene, the sisters are out in a field, and one of them is singing "I'm Forever Blowing Bubbles," and I thought, oh my God, I have to do this song. It really spoke to me. Other times, I would go to the library, and I would go to the One Last Sheet Music store in San Francisco, and just kind of go through the racks. And this one sheet music store had old sheet music, and I also grew up with a lot of old sheet music. My grandparents had a ton of it, so I think, you know, like You're a Heavenly Thing. I just saw it and I thought, oh, that's a pretty sounding song. And I looked at it, you know, through it, and the imagery in the lyrics just hit me like a ton of bricks. And they had a piano there, and so you can go in a little room and practice. And I thought, well, that's, you know, so there, that's a song that just kind of jumped out and found me. And I think that's often the case.
The music is so good on this album that it's easy to get lost in it and gloss over the fact that you're really telling these stories. And telling the story of each song is so important to this music. It's clear that you not only know these stories, but you make sure we can understand every word.
That's super important to me, that I hear what everybody is singing about, because if I can't hear the words, then I don't know what you're singing about. And I think this comes from my acting training. I went to the Neighborhood Playhouse in New York City and, you know, learned about the respect for the words and how to convey them in a truthful way. So that's something when I go into the studio, I have to make sure that all of those words come out, and I have a real respect for all of those lyrics. And I really approach a song as a singer and an actress to get, you know, I'm feeling what I'm singing, and, you know, I hope that people feel that too.
Definitely hear every word of the text, but you also have a slippery way of embellishing the rhythms that's pretty cool.
That's very sweet.
I know you're a big Harry Nilsson fan. Was it hard to pick just the one for the record?
Yeah. I could do a whole Harry Nilsson album, actually. I just think it kind of fit in. I think that was one of the later songs that I picked because I couldn't decide and I was working on a bunch of them. And, you know, I also look for songs that I love doing background vocals. Because I was an alto in the choir, and so I was always doing the, you know, not the main melody. And I thought that one, when I was practicing, would be really beautiful with background vocals. I think he does that in his too, and also with the string quartet. And I just thought it was kind of nice. It comes near the end of the album when you're kind of looking back on the journey. The album starts really with, there really is an arc to the album where it starts with more kind of young romantic love, and then it gets more complex and dark as you go on, and then it kind of settles back into something more real.
Part of what makes the arc to this record interesting to me is the way the songs just keep unfolding, revealing little surprises the whole way. You never know just how deep the rabbit hole goes, so to speak. Tell us about the title. Where did Wonderland come from?
Well, the story has always stayed with me. My dad read it to me when I was little, and I love the illustrations. I grew up in Berkeley and, you know, kind of came of age in the 70s, kind of a crazy time. And we were lucky enough to go to Disneyland about once a year. So, you know, I knew the Alice, the Walt Disney Alice, and going to Disneyland and being in that fantasy land. And I mean, I had all these experiences. Like, I walked out of my door once when I was a kid, and about 10, I'd say, and I lived across the street from a park, and there was a site-specific theater company doing a production of Alice in Wonderland, and it was before, like, the audience had got there. So I was, like, you know, kind of used to going to the park and playing in the stream, and here was, like, Humpty Dumpty sitting on the wall. And they, you know, they kind of messed with me, like this theater company, like they kind of acted the parts. And then I like walked around and there was the Mad Tea Party. And then in another area, like people with puppets and flowers. And, you know, it was Berkeley in the 70s. So, you know, it stuck with me. I've loved all the movies. I love the Tim Burton movie. I love how he reimagined it. And when I was working on these songs, you know, they were finding me. And about halfway through, I was like, oh, so interesting that, like, every single song has, like, the word dream shows up somewhere. And it really wasn't planned. I was like, hmm. And I was kind of going into this state. And I think, you know, that kind of got me thinking. And I thought, well, maybe there's a theme here. And that's how I picked Wonderland. I think that's where these songs live. They're a journey, and they're about desire and, you know, our thoughts and how we create our reality through our thoughts, for better or for worse, and the adventure of it all, of love, relationships, you know, all those complexities.
Fantasy Studios, it's where you recorded the record, and others that can say that are Cannonball Adderley, Dave Brubeck, Creedence Clearwater Revival, Journey. The list goes on. What was it like to be in that space?
Oh, it was amazing. It was wonderful recording here. In fact, I'm in the room that we recorded Wonderland on Valentine's Day, of all days. And, I was shopping around. I really wanted to come here, though. And this is an amazing studio, and all the engineers that I worked with were fantastic. Everybody here is wonderful. It also is about, it's a hop, skip, and a jump from my house. And so to have this in my own backyard is an amazing thing, and I hope to make more albums here.
Well, you can put Wonderland on the list of great records that have been done at Fantasy Studios, that's for sure.
Aww.
My guest this week on The Headliner has been Lissy Walker. Lissy, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. This was all my pleasure. Thank you.
You can get a free download from Wonderland at thejonathanchannel.org through November 30th. Discover new music every day when you listen to The Jonathan Channel.